Hello, dental online trainers, and welcome to the Dental Online Training Sharecast. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Hartlieb. Each month, I'll be talking with dental experts who are doing amazing work in the world of dentistry and talk about how they got there, where they are today, and their influences and their journey in the world of dentistry. And as a bonus, I'll occasionally throw in a few of my solo bonding sharecasts, where I share a little with you about what's going on in my practice and lessons that I have learned along the way during my career. So tune in every other week to hear our latest episode. Hello, Dental Online Trainers. I'm Dr. Dennis Hartley, back with you for another of our DOT Sharecasts. Today, I'm hanging out with Kirk Barrett, founder and CEO of Act Dental, one of the largest and most successful dental coaching and consulting groups in the U.S. Kirk also happens to be kind of a neighbor of mine, a fellow resident of Milwaukee, one of the hidden gems, a little wonderful small city on the western shore of Lake Michigan, what we refer to as Small Milwaukee. If you haven't been to Milwaukee, I'll invite you to our DOT Fest and you can experience Milwaukee for yourself. But let's get on with this. Hey, the reason I asked Kirk to join us is that Kirk has, I think, such an interesting background. Kirk's not a dentist, but he's been in dentistry most of his adult life. And I will tell you, Kirk is one of the most energetic people that I know that I've ever met. And, you know, I think what's so interesting, what's so often the case with people who are like really high energy and just really interesting people, they don't often talk about themselves. And I think very often they're uncomfortable talking about themselves. They'd rather talk about everyone else and they'd rather talk about any other thing but themselves. And so today I'm asking Kirk to talk about himself. So I'm hoping to make himself a little uncomfortable as I ask him about his background and how he got into all this. So listen, rather than me tell you about Kirk's background, I'd rather Kirk tell you himself. So Kirk, welcome to our Sharecast.
Oh, thanks, brother. I'm so excited to be on your Sharecast. This is awesome. And it's true. We are neighbors. We are like, I wouldn't say it's a 99er. It's a little bit longer than that, but you're right around, your house is right around the corner from my house. And it is true. Milwaukee's a special gem. So I'm thrilled to be here, brother. And I told him before we hit the go button, like, you're going to have to like reel it in. Cause I do love talking about other people, but you get me going on any subject, we could talk for a long time.
All right. Perfect. Well, I've been blessed to be on Kirk's podcast a number of times, so it's wonderful having you on ours to share your experience, because I think it's so interesting. It's very unique in dentistry. So first of all, Kirk, talk a little about Act Dental, because I want people to know sort of where you are with Act Dental. We'll come back and talk more about it at the end, but talk a little about what Act Dental is, and then I want to bring people into how it all began, because I think it's absolutely fascinating, your journey and where sort of you are now with Act Dental.
Yeah. So Act Dental, we're a practice coaching company. And I'll tell more about that and how that all evolved as we get going. But, you know, it started with the whole idea. I ended up working in dentistry and doing this early in my career. And then we are now in our 27th year. And we're just really committed to creating better practice, better life. There's a lot of great coaches and consultants out there. I like the word coach more than consultant, because coach, I got to get you to think. Consultants will tell you what to do. Now, we do have to wear both hats, where we will be a consultant at times to say, don't do that. But ultimately, we really measure the success of what we do when we can grow a leader who grows other leaders that grows other leaders. I mean, they can think, they understand, and they can navigate through their own problems. They become less dependent on us. And one more thing I'll just say about what we do and what's maybe different or what defines us, our core purpose, better practice, better life. There's a lot of great coaches out there, a lot of great consultants. I'm going to see them all next week. And they're friends, colleagues of mine. And they help people grow businesses and multiple practices and scale them and all that kind of stuff. And that's great. I love it when somebody has a life where they make what they want to make. They work with who they want to work with. They enjoy going to work. And at the end of the day, they go, dude, I love my life. That's my favorite thing. And I think time is the new rich. You know, I don't care what people make. I mean, that's important. But I think ultimately the measure of anybody is like, what do they do with their time? Those are the richest people in the world. So our whole company is built on that premise. We've got a training center here. We've got 19 people on our team. We're just committed to helping dentists create a better practice and a better life.
I think you said something really interesting. You talked about how you think of it as coaching. You need to have the consulting and the coaching. And I think very much it's like having a practice. You can't just be a leader of your practice. You also have to manage the practice. And so you have to wear both hats. And I think that's very interesting coming from that consulting thing. It's sort of like the same thing. Yes, we got to be leaders, but we also have to pay attention to the day-to-day stuff. We have to have the difficult conversations. We have to do all the things that make us tremendous business owners, but it's leadership and management. It sounds like that's sort of what you guys do from like a consulting end.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, all of it, as you get into it, like the teeth, I'll say this, I'm not even a dentist, but like dentists love learning about teeth and
They
the
do.
future. I think dentistry is going to be challenged with this employment thing more than ever. And I don't think it's going to go away in your lifetime and in my lifetime. So I think it's important. It's always been our message, like, don't, you can get good at business, but get good at people. And, understanding the business. And Pete Dawson, God rest his soul, told me at a very young age, when you get the right people and you put them in the right seats, you can produce twice as much in half of the time at the quarter of the stress. And so I just hear his words all the time as we look at what's going on in the world of dentistry.
It's one of the other things you said. I was just listening to an interview, a podcast with Guy Raz, who does Wisdom from the Top. And on there, he had just interviewed, I think it's Jason Fried is his name. He's a guy who was the founder of Basecamp, which is a music, online music sharing or music site. And Fried went on and on about how having balance in your life in today's world. And he didn't say that time is a new commodity, but it really is. And he talked about how to create balance in their work environment, what he does with his team to allow them to have that balance. And you're absolutely right. This is without question to me the biggest challenge in dentistry now is our cohorts, our team members, and how do we how, where so many people are demanding to have a hybrid work process where they're partially at home and partially in office if they're going to go in at all. And we demand people to be there literally 100% of the time. How are we going to attract and attain, or maintain great team members? I want to talk about all that. I think we need to sort of cycle back into that because I think that's super interesting and I'm super curious to get your thoughts on that. But I want to go back in time. Because what I find so interesting, Kirk, is you know more about dentistry than most dentists, and you've never gone to dental school. So if you could, tell us, where'd you grow up? Where's your background?
Yeah, so I grew up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Graduated from high school in 1988 from Stevens Point Area Senior High School. Very mediocre student, I could play football. So I walked on at the University of Minnesota back in 1988 after I graduated. John Gutekunst was a coach. We were terrible, and I was so happy to be on that. And I had a couple offers to play Division II. And I'm like, I want to play Division I.
What
And
position did you play?
I was a tight end. So, and not a great one. And so when people go, "You played at Minnesota," I'm like, well, use the word play loosely. I didn't play, but I was on the team and it was a great experience. So I was there in 88 and 89. And my wife hates this when I say this, but I flunked out of college twice. So the first time I just had so much fun. And John Gutekunst, who great guy, who his son is the GM, very important piece of the Green Bay Packers. He was running around practice. He was like a kid back then. And I flunked out a second time. And Gutekunst was great. He's like, you're a great guy, but you got to figure out what you're going to do with your life. And I left and I actually moved back to Milwaukee. And I was a little bit embarrassed. My friends were all growing up, getting jobs, graduating, and I wasn't. And my family, very lower middle class family. My dad was in trucking. My mom sold tractors at Sears. So my dad was always like, "You need money?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I'll tell you how to get money. You get a job." I'm like, "I already have one." He's like, "Get a second one, third one." So I came home. I drove forklift for Consolidated Freightways, and I got two other jobs. I was working at Applebee's, and I worked at a place called Champ Sports Bar here at South and at Southridge, and I was a three-time employee of the month at Applebee's. And I drive by Applebee's all the time. I tell my kids three times, and they're like, "You're so weird." And I'm like, but I learned how to create value, and I learned how to hustle. And so, again, while all my friends were graduating, I was in my early 20s, and Bob Pop, who I'm sure you know, here in town, he was a frequent customer of mine, and he had a place called Pop Dental Laboratories and had an idea to create a supply company. And I asked him for a letter of recommendation because I was getting ready to graduate. I was 24 or 23 years old, I think. And he said, no, you're going to come work for me. And I'm like, hell no, I don't even go to the dentist. And he's like, you're going to come with... And I had a great experience, and we built a supply company out of the back room of Pop Dental Supplies and built it to a $3 million company because we were backdooring products from AccuBite and over 600 dentists that I was calling on. And I love working. Like, I actually love it. And so he taught me a ton, and then I was at the ripe old age of 24.
Okay, hold on before you go further, because I want to take a bite out of a couple of apples off that you threw out there.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go back to college because I've never got to hang out in a football. So many of the people who listen to this podcast know I'm a huge Michigan fan. I went to Michigan for undergrad and for dental school. And if you don't know, Michigan won the national championship this year, a big year for us, right? Great January. But I always said there was a guy named Norm Betts who was a tight end at Michigan earlier than when you were there, because he would have been tight end at Michigan in the earlier 80s. And he actually was a freshman in dental school and played as a starting tight end under Bo Schembechler at Michigan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can anyone possibly do that? How could anyone? First of all, I am so impressed by these collegiate athletes that can manage the needs and the demands of being a college athlete, and then also the demands of being a student. But then also, so your first time for most people going out, and you're socially independent from your parents, you're in this environment. For many people, if you don't know what it is you want to be doing, it's easy, I think, to get caught into the whirlwind or the centrifuge of the fun of college, because college can be a lot of fun. And so I want to take you back there because I'm just super curious. When you were at Minnesota and you wanted to play football and stuff, were you thinking about at that point in your life, like, okay, I also have to sort of figure out a career? Or were you just thinking, I'm just going to get through college and then figure it out from there? Or what was sort of going through a 18-year-old Kirk's head?
Yeah, 18-year-old Kirk's head would fascinate you. So I wasn't thinking really long term. I was so happy to be there, being a full-time, and now I was a walk-on, so I didn't have a scholarship at all.
Right.
So that put me in a special category where I had to have a job. So when they say collegiate athletes, it's a full-time job. It is.
Yeah.
So in the afternoon, I was at the football facility as long as I could, remember. Then you had to go to, you had to go eat, and then I'd go work and then try to study at the same time. And obviously I didn't do a good job of putting all that together. No, but I was joking. My son actually has the freshman program, and he's like, Dad, you wanted to go into medicine? And I'm like, I don't know. They asked me what I wanted to do. I thought that sounded cool. I actually had no idea, none whatsoever. So I was just there for the experience. So I didn't have any long-term thoughts on anything other than I'm just going to enjoy this experience and see where to go next. So nothing brilliant, but I really, really enjoyed the experience of being around those guys. And some of those guys today are still my very best friends, like very best friends. So an incredible experience.
Band of brothers, right? I think when you start going through these, and then they're not battles, and I don't want to minimize, the real world of battles, but for a football team, you're together. You're in the mud, you're in the blood, you're scraping and clawing, and it's there's a real bond, I think, that I hear that forms through these relationships, right?
Oh, 100%. You're together all the time through the thick and the thin, the difficult, the fun. And more often than not, it's really fun. Some of the stories I can't even repeat on a podcast, but it's so great. And then to watch us all grow up and go in different directions and have families, it's really, really, really special.
When, not that your children would ask you for advice, but if someone young who's going off to college and they don't know why they're going to college, because they sort of feel like they need to go to college, but they're not really sure why they're going there. I think it's, I was blessed. I knew I wanted to be a dentist when I was going to Michigan. So I just sort of, I knew what I needed to do. I talked to the counselors. Okay, this is what I need to do. These are classes I needed to take. And so it was easy for me. I just got on the track, and I just put my head down and I had my fun, but I knew what I wanted to do. And I always felt bad because there's lots of people around me who didn't know what they wanted to do, and I could see how much they struggled when they
Right.
didn't have that direction. So I'm curious, looking back at it, what advice would you give to someone who's not sure what they want to be doing in their life, but they feel like college is the right avenue for them?
Right. So I fit the category that you described. My dad, who is my hero, I didn't even know it was a choice. I'm not kidding. Like until I was in later part of high school, I had no idea that you could choose not to go. He's like, no, you're going. And he knew it was your ticket to get on to the next thing. And he's like, I don't care what you do. It's an obstacle course. You got to get through it and you'll learn a ton from it. And he said, he described it. He went to Whitewater. So he was an All-American there and he actually got drafted in the NFL. So my dad has always been somebody I idolize. And I would watch him go back to these Whitewater gatherings and not like shake hands, but he would squeeze these guys, tell great stories. So for me, being that I wanted to please my dad and seeing what he has, even at this age, I'm like, I got to get some of that. The relationships were incredible. So, and me idolizing my dad, I just did the same thing. My kids don't even know that they're an option. I mean, my son is 16. He's like, I don't think there's an option here. There's not, I don't know. I don't think that's bad. I do want to recognize that people can make choices. If my kids ever said, I'm not going to go to college, I'm like, you got to do something, So for me, college was an obstacle course and you learn a lot about yourself. And I would say even at the age of 25, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. So I think it's called the future pull. You just got to have something to anchor into. I don't care if it's college. I don't care if it's something, you got to believe the best is in front of you.
I think that's really important. I think that's a huge that's huge advice. That is, I think, critical in today's world. People have to believe there's something in front of them, because I think there is a little bit of, there's a lot of lost souls who don't understand that the future is in front of them. I think those are really, that's super valuable words.
Well, I think even as you and I mature, I mean, we can never say, remember the good old days? As soon
For
as we
sure.
start talking like that, I mean, it's over. I mean, we better be a lot like locked in on who we are and all of those kind of things. I think my dad even says it. So I am 53. He is 73. He still says it. Like the best years are still in front of us, And I'm
Right.
like, it's great motivation because I think that's true. And no matter where you are in this game, I don't care if you're 24, 64, or 84, you got to believe like the best is in front of you.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. That's great. It's great that your dad's still around and that you still have these great conversations. That's terrific.
Yeah, it's
That's very
awesome.
cool.
It's awesome.
All right. So you're out of Stevens Point, and now you got to go make yourself a living because you got to make a living. So I love restaurant work. That's the only thing that I've really done besides dentistry. I was a stock boy at a little China store and stuff for a little bit, but I was really just a restaurant guy. I started out as a bus boy when I was a kid, and then became a waiter. And so restaurant work put me all through dental school, under undergrad and through dental school. I was a waiter throughout all my years in school, and I love restaurant work. And I think nothing teaches you service, humility, teamwork, all this stuff in restaurant work. And I loved it. And so I know we've talked about Applebee's before, and I think we didn't have Employee of the Month places that I worked, but I would have been proud to have been Employee of the Month. I bet you wore that with just a big, great, big bunch of pride.
Well, I did. I mean, I did. And you would have been employee of the month, I guarantee you. Well, and I'll just when you get started in restaurant, you got to have a clear line of sight. So I got started as a bar back, then I got to serve tables. Well, the top of the pyramid was the bartender. Do you know what I mean? They were like the social, they were like the MC of the evening. And there was
No
usually
doubt.
two bartenders. There was the hustler and then there was the entertainer. And I was like, I can see exactly where I'm going to go. Like, I'm going to be the entertainer in this place. And so, you know, I really enjoyed working. I loved people from the beginning. So it wasn't about achieving like employee of the month. It was the fact that it was all run by systems and they taught you, you don't look down. I mean, I still know how to make a Bahama Mama to this day. I still know that the pickle has to be on the kale down on the right-hand side at a 45-degree angle. I don't know why, but the fact was, Dennis, you pulled up and if you drank vodka tonics with two limes and it was a tall and it was a single, I knew that. I could see you pull up. I'd be like, I'd have the napkin down, bam. I just love making people happy. So it was so much fun for me. And I tell my kids just what you said, like, it's like the greatest job ever because you can make a ton of money.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm out of this window now, but a lot of it's tax free. So
right.
It's
right.
like, you know, I'd go down to Water Street after working two shifts at Applebee's and I was 23 years old. You'd have a wad of money and you'd be like, my goal was to take care of my friends. And so I felt like I was a rock star walking in. You know, and just go get him one, get her one. And it was just social hour for me.
What a lot of people don't understand when you're serving tables, it's so much, I think, like what we do in dentistry.
Yeah.
You talk about systems. When a dental office is working well, I think you have great systems in place. But what you also talked about was that when you have a customer that comes in that wants two limes instead of one lime, you recognize that. And so I think where we can get confused in our dental practices is that either we are systemless, which is like, I think just as a disaster, right? These are practices I think that are just, you know, they're like amoebas. They just don't have any direction, or they're too rigid in their systems. And you have right. team members that are too rigid in their systems. So I think the key is having your systems, but recognizing the people who want a second line and knowing that because you've been able to experience them over time. And I think that's where those parallels are so strong.
Yeah. Well, and systems, the more you get into systems, you realize it's about predictability of outcomes. So if you're coming there and you love, you know, the tall with two limes and a single shot, you're looking for that experience, you know, and you also, I'm not paying for the food at Applebee's, I'm paying for the experience of it. And you bring a friend in and you go, meet my friend Joe. I go, Joe, what's up, brother? And before you know it, so that's one piece of it. The second piece is the energy piece, because when you're not thinking about what you're doing, you can give the energy to the things that matter. And that's what really became fun. Now I could ask you about what's going on in your life. What are you up to? What'd you do today? And even when we were down a person, let's say I didn't have the second bartender, I could still make it happen on a Friday night. And people felt empathetic. They're like, dude, he's cranking it, where I'd have to be both people. But the systems, you know, I wouldn't even look down. Boom, 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 boom. So there's so many benefits to systems. And when you talk about a dental practice, one of the things that's important to recognize about today's environment is that if I'm an amazing front desk person or mm-hmm. admin person, amazing, cheers, I don't want to come and clean up your mess. I want to come in and know this place is crazy organized so I can be me. I don't want to take work home with me. We could do a whole day on like the benefits of systems, but one of the things is files closed. I'm not thinking about work after work, you know? Yeah. It's done in the confines when the systems are designed really well. And one more thing I'll say about systems is every time you put a system in place, you're saving thousands of hours in the future. Thousands. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like where you don't think about where the pickle goes on the kale or how many shots are in a Bahama Mama. You're just making life better. So
I think it's interesting how many team members want to come in and they want to do it their way and not follow a system. And I imagine with ACTA, you guys have to deal with this a lot. I know we have in our practice, and especially in today's world where there's such a high turnover rate and we just haven't been able to retain team members for as long as what we had traditionally. And I think systems are more valuable today than they've ever been because, you know, I don't want to say we have a revolving door. We don't have a revolving door. But we have one person with 10 years experience in our practice as a dental assistant, but we don't have anyone that has more than over a year experience in our practice. So right. we've had to hire and rehire and retrain. And if you don't have strong systems, then it's impossible because people are going to bring in their own systems and then it's just a madhouse.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think the bigger thing is the why, because we do get some very powerful people that come and work here and they've done it another way, but they have to see that there's a bigger possibility. So you it all goes back to core values. You know, I really love somebody with humility and they're talented and they're open. So there's got to be a bond beyond just the work. And so the work is the why. You know, the why is really the bigger glue. And when people come in and they're open and they're humble, you know, if I could go off on tangents, but hungry, humble, smart.
Yep.
You know, you read any of Lencioni's things, that is so spot on. Those are the three things that we're going to be ultimately looking for in any type of employee. Then they're open to doing the systems. They understand the value of systems. And the other thing I'd say to any dentist that's listening goes, no, Kirk, I don't agree. You don't understand, is that I think when you've got a really good foundation of values, you're looking for the right type of people. You don't fall victim to it's better to give birth than it is to raise the dead. Now, let me explain. Some people are just like, it's so hard to, it's not really the new thoughts that are the hard ones. It's the old ones that are hard to get out. People say, well, sure, that's the way we've always done it.
For sure.
And, you know, in all fairness to them, it worked in the past. So mm-hmm. It really takes a thoughtful leader to understand, hey, listen, that's where they're at. And I have to go through this thing called stages of change where I can't just put this on them. I got to grow them. I got to develop them. I got to develop a bigger why so that they go, ooh, this does work. Because we do see people in some of these courses, they go, I've been doing this for 30 years. I was the last one to change, but I did, and it worked. And so you got to have a little grace as a leader.
Couple thoughts. First of all, you know, I always think about the company Pontiac that made the Firebird and made all sorts of, you know, all sorts of great cars back in the day. And Pontiac is no longer around. And, you know, great organizations can fail. They can fail easily because they don't change with the times. And so I think that's a lesson for dental practices for everybody, is that you have to be able to change with the times. Certainly COVID is, if that hasn't taught us a lesson, nothing will. But we have to be adaptable. Yeah. And you were talking about hungry, humble, and smart. And smart, just for those who are listening who aren't familiar with Patrick Lencioni, humble, smart means like EQ smart, not IQ smart, but totally. EQ. How do you relate to other people? How well do you fit in? I'll ask you this. This is sort of going off on a tangent. I think humble is one of the most difficult things for us to be able to gauge or judge. And I think it's almost impossible to make corrections with someone. I think once you find that someone's not humble, I think that is their DNA. And I see that that doesn't change very much. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, gosh, we could go real cliche in this. People change, but very little, you know? And you're exactly right. You couldn't say that any better, Dennis. I'd love to say it, but you know, I'm always looking for the things I cannot train, if that makes sense. And so I like a little humility. I like a little bit of, I also like a little bit of confidence. You know, cockiness and confidence, there's a fine line there.
Yeah.
And then when you find somebody who's really confident, and so I'm looking for the things, I think the best way to describe this, all in attitude is one of my favorite here. I love that because I have no qualms about this. I'll take out the trash. I'll do anything. I'll change the toilet paper. I don't have an ego that I started the company. And we're looking for elements of that in those people, because I'll take anybody that's got the fabric. You know, Julie's a great example. She was the one pouring us a beer before. She was the manager at Starbucks. There were days where she was down two employees and she's taking out the trash and happy to do it, saying hi to all the customers coming in. And when you see stuff like that, you're like, I don't care what she can do, she's coming to work for me. And she's like, what do you do? I'm like, come to work. I brought her to work. And my team is like, what is she going to do? I go, I don't know. But she's got the qualities that I love when it comes to working with somebody. So I wish I could give you a great answer on that. But a lot of times it comes back to the eye contact. I always ask people this question, and maybe this will be helpful, is why should I hire you? You know, so, and if they don't give me a good answer, and I'm not allowed to hire anymore because I like people too much. I want them to give me a really good answer and a thoughtful one and make eye contact. So I am looking for the confidence, but I am also looking for the humble pieces in there, because there's nothing worse than working with somebody whose only sentence is I, me, and they're the center, you know, they're on a team of one, and that's tough.
I think this is, again, back to college football. I think this is one of the biggest challenges that, you know, we're having challenges in dentistry. College football is having enormous challenges with paying for players, and which I think they should be. You know, I'm fine with them getting paid, but it's changing the landscape, and I think teams are going to be much more guns for hire, and it's going to be more about the I than it is about the we and the team. I wonder how much you pull back and you reflect on moments when you were in your college, in college and high school football. I'm sure you had great coaching in high school. The words that you've heard from your coaches, the experiences that you had with your coaches and teammates, how much does that sort of sprinkle into stuff that you do like on a daily basis?
Oh, all the time. All the time. You know, and going back to coach, I mean, both of my parents, mom, if you're listening to this, you were just as important. So being a boy, like my dad was my coach all the time. So the humility thing, I think that's really important because that you're getting that information 100x times a coach. And if you didn't have a father or a mother growing up, you know, that's hard, and I can't imagine what that's like. And I don't even want to say I know what that's like, but having an influence that's positive in your life on some level to give you some guidelines. That's why I had mentors. So, yes, I do think of the coaches. I think of athletic coaches. I will tell you, though, my best coaches, while they were in sports, came after sports. So, because I got involved in mentor, I started taking courses. I started taking this thing called CE, and I loved it. And when you go to a CE course for an entire day or even 5 days, you're surrounded by learners, and some of them are excellent. Some of them are teaching you more than you bargained for, and they're giving you books and they're checking in on you. And so, this is when you know this. You train some of the best dentists. Your education starts when you get out of school, don't
Sure
you think?
does. Oh, for sure. Hey, Dental Online Trainers, just so you know, this is actually a two-part interview with Kirk Behrendt. If you enjoyed the first part of our conversation, then please join us in just a couple weeks when we drop the second part of this interview. You can watch this full episode on YouTube or subscribe wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Again, thanks for listening. Yours for better dentistry. I'm Dr. Dennis Hartlieb. Well, thanks so much for listening or viewing our Sharecast today. If you enjoy this and you want to get more information from Dental Online Training, then check us out at dothandson.com. That's one word, dothandson.com. Now, as a reminder, DOT has so many great opportunities for your learning. We have our Wind and Unwind webinars, where we engage real time with our speakers and our viewers. During these live webinars, we bring in leaders throughout the dental industry to help keep you up to date on materials, issues, and techniques that affect you and your practice. We also have our monthly morning coffee and donut mentorship sessions, where we review cases and issues with our participants and what's going on with their practices. We recently launched our DOT Study Club session, where our DOT members present treatment cases, we do lit reviews, and our members provide pearls they found in their practice to help us all bring greater treatment to our patients. Hey, if you love doing hands-on workshops, you're going to love our live virtual workshops where our dental online trainers perform the same techniques that I'm doing with kits that we have shipped to them from the comfort of their own home or their office. DOT was the first to offer virtual hands-on learning, and our members just simply love these courses. And finally, we have an endless selection of our on-demand pre-recorded hands-on technique courses to help you improve the clinical dentistry that you provide for your patients. So check us out on Instagram, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts at Dental Online Training. And you can follow me at HartliebDDS if you'd like to follow on Instagram. And hey, be sure to share this with your friends and colleagues who you think might benefit from this Sharecast. And if you don't mind, leave us a five-star review if you enjoyed our conversations. This podcast is edited by Luna Clark and includes original music by Chris Peterson. Again, thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Dennis Hartlieb, yours for better dentistry.